Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at KansasSpeedway.com.
Shot clock down to 12. LeBron spins, fires baseline. Oh, he drops it through from behind the backboard.
We're excited about being a part of the Eastern Conference Finals once again and have an opportunity to compete for a championship.
Ben on a drive, lobs it to Joel, and an alley-oop jam. Horford had to come over. Brad Stevens thought that ball was over the basket. Simmons threw it up, and B dunked it.
It's never been done before, so didn't care about it. Going in, you just got to take it one day at a time, one game at a time, one quarter at a time, and we're going to be fine.
Here come the Caps. Kuznetsov gets loose. Evgeny coming down the middle, a shot, and it comes in over. He scores! He scores! Evgeny Kuznetsov wins it for Washington! It's off to the third round! The Demons have been exercised! Good morning! Good afternoon! And good night, Pittsburgh! We're going to Tampa Bay! The Capitals have done it!
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Charlie Carlin and Michael, the Northland intern, joining us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot on this Tuesday, May 8th, 2018. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. We appreciate that. A lot of stuff going on last night. No Royals baseball. They had an off day, and they deserved it after winning 3 out of 4 against the Detroit Tigers. They'll be back in action tonight, beginning of a road trip that takes them to Baltimore and then Cleveland. They start off with Danny Duffy on the mound facing Dylan Bundy. Danny Duffy still looking for his first win of the year. He's 0-4 with a 5.63. We've talked about that quite a bit last week and this week, his struggles and his escapades on Twitter. So hopefully tonight the focus will be him turning things around and having a good start against a horrific baseball team. You think the Royals are bad, and they are. They're 11-23, but they're showing signs of life. The Baltimore Orioles, 8-26. The fewest wins in Major League Baseball, and they're 5-10 at home. Royals are 5-10 away from home, so something's got to give tonight. So we'll see if Danny Duffy can bounce back and have a good performance against the Baltimore O's and get his first win of the year. Last night there was a lot of other stuff going on besides baseball. The NBA playoffs continued. The 76ers extended their series, avoiding the sweep. They win 103-92 over the Boston Celtics. So Boston now leads that series 3-1. And the horrible series between Cleveland and Toronto is over. Sweep. Not to say I told you so, but I told you so. When that series started, it was over. As soon as they beat Indiana and got past Indiana, Toronto was going to be nothing for them. Sorry. Hate to give you the spoiler last week, but that's what it was. I know you're more hopeful of that, but
no, I'm glad to see it. I want to see LeBron back in the finals. So, I didn't think it'd be that easy for him.
See, but I'm not glad to see it because it wasn't worth watching. Too much. I mean, the series. I mean, just.
Oh, this series?
Yeah.
No, not really.
It was like a waste of time. I know there were some great moments for LeBron, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, Toronto just laid down and curled up into a ball.
Yeah, that was.
It was embarrassing for them.
Number one seed getting swept in the conference semis, huh?
There was no. And look, there was no resistance at all. Mm-hmm. Like last night, it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, like the 76ers, they showed some fight down 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
They won a game. Toronto, they were done. There was no need to play that game last night. It was over for them. And so, yeah. And I think in the series that most of us were kind of hoping for, I guess, the Cavs and the 76ers probably isn't going to happen because Brad Stevens is a coaching witch. And the more injuries Boston endures, it's like the better he coaches. So, I mean, unless it's one of the most miraculous comebacks in probably would end up being the most miraculous comeback in NBA playoffs history for the 76ers. Boston will hold on to win that series. And, I mean, Boston at full strength, that would have been compelling against Cleveland. Maybe it still is. I mean, Jason Tatum's a freaking stud, but I don't anticipate Boston being able to get past Cleveland in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you?
Probably not. Like you said, especially not without Kyrie. If they had Kyrie, I think it would have been a heck of a series with all sorts of drama and,
right,
you know, great storylines.
That's why I was hoping the 76ers would win. I think they may have given Cleveland a better series.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. I didn't think Boston would do this well against the 76ers, and so we will we'll see what happens. But Cleveland advances to the Eastern Conference Finals. 76ers extend their series with Boston last night. Now tonight, the Utah Jazz, every point guard they have is hurt with a hamstring injury. And so I would not anticipate them going to Houston and extending the series. They're down 3-1. So I'll say Houston closes that out tonight and advances. And then you've got the Warriors with the same situation against the Pelicans, up 3-1 in Oakland, late game tonight. And so I would anticipate both the Rockets and Warriors winning tonight and advancing to the Western Conference Finals. And there's a series I'll be excited to watch.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we's talking. I would love to see Houston beat Golden State, even though I think Golden State and Cleveland. Well, you know what? I kind of want to see if it's good. Cleveland is. I think I'd like to see Cleveland and Houston. Houston could beat Cleveland.
Oh, sure. Most people seem to think that whoever wins the Houston Golden State series is just going to walk through the finals.
See, but I don't know because that's, you mean Houston. That it's tough to say about the first time a team goes to the finals. You don't know what to expect. You
that's
know,
true.
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really give LeBron and Cleveland a puncher's chance against Houston.
Yeah.
Against Golden State, I don't think so. It'll just be the same thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Golden State's been there, done that. I mean, the finals, that's what they do. And I think that Cleveland will put up a good fight, but I think Golden State would ultimately win. But Houston, you never know when a team finally gets over the hump and gets to the finals, how they respond.
Mm-hmm.
And if LeBron knows one thing, he knows what it's like to be in the finals.
Yeah.
He doesn't always know what it's like to win them, but he knows what it's like to be in the. So no one will be overwhelmed by the stage of the NBA Finals. And so I think that might be, because I just feel like if it's Cleveland and Golden State, it'll be fun while it lasts. LeBron will have his moments, but then Golden State will win because they're just a better team top to bottom.
Yep.
But if it's Cleveland and Houston, here we go. At least I'll have some question about who's going to win or not. I'd love to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will root for, even though I wanted Utah to win, I will root for Houston against the Warriors.
You know, I was thinking about, you were talking last week that you're tired of the Warriors versus Cavs because that's what we get, you know, every year.
Right.
And I totally get what you're saying, but then I kind of thought about it. In some ways, it's kind of like if it happens, it's kind of like a great boxing trilogy, you know, two fighters who are the best at what they do. They've gone at each other twice, and each has won once, if I remember correctly. And so this would be like the completion of the trilogy, which, you know, I guess there's a lot of drama to that, but I'm with you. I don't think that the Cavs would have a very good chance in that series because I do think the Warriors are just too good, top to bottom, too much of a team.
This would be
This
would be the fourth in a row.
Fourth. Yeah, we've already had the trilogy.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
So a year ago, that would have been one hell of an argument.
You're right.
And I think but it is a good, I think it's a good comparison because depending how the fights go, it's only good if you honestly think there's a chance for both guys to win. You know what I mean?
I think before KD, it was like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because like the first year, LeBron was all by himself because Love and Irving had gotten hurt, and he still took it to seven games, I think.
It was six games.
Six games, but he like single-handedly won a couple of those games or whatever, and then
right. And then they won in seven.
And then they won in seven, and then they add Kevin Durant.
Right.
Just
but then last year, 4-1.
Yeah, it was
and
Kevin
so
Durant.
That's
yeah.
what more what I anticipate, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
that's you're right though. If it would have been year three, okay, it's the rubber mats. Let's go. And so I feel like last year Golden State just kind of decided that, like, here, this is what this is going to be.
Yeah, well, they added, like, one of the top three players in the league, and, you know,
I don't want
to
see
LeBron had to do, like, everything humanly possible to keep him in the first 2 years, and then they, we'll just add Kevin Durant. Okay.
And it's going to be more, and honestly, I'm tired of the, and thank goodness Jake isn't here to, I think, to put fuel on this fire right now, but I've had it with the LeBron Jordan thing.
You've had it with that for a long time.
Continuously. And I don't even care. Like, I mean, I'm not compelled to argue either way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jordan is Jordan, LeBron is LeBron. The people that actually the people that live through Jordan and watch Jordan will favor Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people that are living through LeBron now and don't remember just can read about Jordan and look at videos and didn't live through those finals and didn't live through that, they're gonna side with LeBron. You side with your guy in your era.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it is. And look, there's great arguments on both sides. I mean, people still bring up the LeBron Kobe argument, Jake.
I
guess it's a fun debate for people that want to waste their time. But I mean, LeBron's LeBron. Jordan was Jordan. And it's almost impossible to compare the two to me. I mean, but LeBron has every argument to be the greatest player of his generation and maybe at some point the greatest player of all time. And maybe people want to say he's the greatest player of all time. And they've got an argument. They've got a case. But Jordan's got a hell of a case, too. But I mean, it's just I feel like people will talk more about that than the actual finals because the finals won't be very good. And LeBron will be losing the finals. And Jordan went, Bobby LeBron, no. And then none of the conversation will be about the games. See, Jordan was 6-0 in the finals,
and
there it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there it goes.
So
and
right now, right now, the LeBron over Jordan people are louder because he's making amazing plays and winning games and doing great things, but. If we get to the finals and his team's down 2-0, the Jordan's better than LeBron crowd will get all of a sudden get a lot louder. You know, like right now, every time LeBron does something, it's greatest of all time, LeBron James. See, best of all time, and now the LeBron haters are kind of quiet right now, but they're waiting. You know, they haven't gone away. They're just kind of waiting their time, and then when the finals roll around, they'll roll back out and. Start crapping all over him.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of, you're right about that. And that storyline has existed for so many years now that it is pretty tiresome. In general, I mean, those kind of debates are kind of, I mean, I guess that's one of the reasons talk radio exists. People, you can't ever, anytime you want to compare, who was better, you know, Mickey Mantle or Joe DiMaggio or whatever, you know, it's hard to, people love to do that, have these arguments. But... they're two of the greatest players in the history of the sport, you know.
And I like Chris Paul,
mm-hmm.
and I like James Harden,
mm-hmm.
and so I'd like to see them in this team in the finals against Cleveland. That'd be a lot of fun.
Well, and we like the D'Antoni family, don't we?
Why not? Of course.
One of the best guests we've had on this show in a long time is his brother, the head coach at Marshall.
And as Jake will... Well, I mean, I said it on the air, but like one of my few claims of fame when I was right is back in the 2009 draft when I said I would have taken before the draft. I would take James Harden number one overall over Blake Griffin, and I was made fun of. Lebo literally pulled his pants down and showed me his ass when I said that.
Wow,
what was that for?
Wow,
was that even about that?
I don't know.
No,
it's hard to keep those
days
straight.
No, he just really wanted to do that.
That was at a party.
Mm.
It actually had nothing to do with that draft. It's actually last year.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, point is, so then looking back at that draft, do you remember, so it was Blake Griffin went number one, right? And then do you remember who went number two right ahead of Harden at number three? A big center from UConn.
The Okafor?
Hashim Thabit.
Oh, Hashim Thabit.
That worked out from Memphis or no?
I don't think so.
Because it went Blake Griffin and then Thabit, then James Harden, and then Tyreke Evans, Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn. Oh, no. Minnesota picked 5 and 6, and they went Rubio and Flynn, and number 7 was Steph Curry. Nope. Oh, no.
Minnesota.
Hey, you pick point guards with 5 and 6, and you don't pick Steph Curry. You can't even say, hey, we weren't looking point guard.
Yeah, we needed a big guy.
We had to have a wing or something. Mm-hmm. Not only did they take a point guard, they took two of them. So it's like they looked at him twice, like, no and no. So.
Too small. Not going to make it.
What a weird top 10 that was, because it went Rubio, Flynn, then Steph Curry, then Jordan Hill, and then DeMar DeRozan. Ooh,
boy. Pretty darn good players in that draft.
Except for Minnesota.
Rubio's a decent player, right, but he didn't even play for them anymore.
Not for them.
Yeah.
The Johnny Flynn one kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. Mm. But, and look, that draft on full display here in this postseason, the DeMar DeRozan did not perform very well. I think if you're Toronto, you hate Cleveland and LeBron more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can't beat him.
They can't do nothing with him.
I don't know if you saw the stat in the 10 games they played against the Cavs over the past few years.
Yeah, it's like plus 1,000 when he's on the floor.
178.
Something horrific, yeah.
It's 178 when he's off the floor, it's plus 3.
They're not really even taking advantage of when he's off the floor. We've got lots of good stuff for you on the show today. We'll talk to Shane Zinger, the AD at KU. We've got Gary Lezak, who was the AD at 41 Action News. Jamie Bluma. Guess what the AD, he's the AD of something. He directs a lot of stuff athletically.
Yeah,
all that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. You have the Matt Beasler bobblehead doll that you were able to come away with on Saturday night. How many did you get for yourself?
Well, I
just
have
surrounding your bed right now.
Technically, I just have one.
I don't
but
believe that.
Since we have, you know, 4-season tickets, my wife and kids each got one as well.
What do you do with yours?
But I pretty much told the kids, like, you don't need yours. We could put them in daddy's room.
But, like, honest question, where did you put yours?
Well, right now it's in our kitchen.
What do you mean?
It's sitting in our kitchen. I haven't done anything with it yet since it.
What's that supposed to mean? Wow. That's a weird way to phrase it.
So, Wednesday, I'll be down in Atlanta, and as long as our equipment is ready to go for it, I hopefully will be coming on the show from Atlanta tomorrow. And I spoke with Matt at training yesterday, and he's...
Note to self, pour water all over the equipment today at 10:15 a.m.
I don't think you need to. I think that the equipment already has had something poured all over
Note
it.
Note to self, steal the equipment and put it in my trunk until Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, no, Nate. Equipment's not working.
We can't find it.
But I'm talking you down the line right now, Stephen. I can hear you. Nope, not working. Can't
Steven
hear you.
Is speeding away down Metcalf for some reason.
What?
Yeah, Jason Justice just called us. Says that somebody just poured water all over the equipment.
Someone just urinated on the equipment.
Oh, boy, don't do that.
That's too far. Charlie, was that too far? That was too far.
You're getting close to that line, right. But you're good.
Right. That is close to the line or pass it. I don't know. So there is a problem with the equipment?
Well, we had some transmitter issues over the weekend, I think. And
you did.
So the equipment that I would normally use to broadcast from on the road is being used to keep us on the air right now, from what I understand. So I don't know if I can use it. Hopefully by tomorrow it'll be working. Because Matt Beasler said that he would come on the show from down in Atlanta with us tomorrow. day of the game.
Day of the game.
Yeah, in my hotel room. So, right. You know, obviously I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that.
You excited about doing a game in this beautiful new venue?
I can't wait. Yeah, check out some Chick-fil-A. Everybody's saying to go to this Vortex place tonight, by the way.
Vortex.
Yeah.
Oh, and I remembered where I went to eat. It had one of the best seafood meals of my life.
Okay.
Down in Atlanta.
And?
Well, you want me to tell you?
Sure.
Atlanta Fish Market.
Okay.
It's in Buckhead.
You would highly recommend it.
Oh, let me tell you. Even Steve St. John Sr.
Lunch or dinner type place?
Both, but anything. It's always dinner for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need a time of day to tell me to eat a lot.
Right.
I'll do it. No, but I looked it up.
Okay.
Because I couldn't remember what it was, but it was. We had gone to it was the day of the SEC championship game, and then we went back to the hotel, and of course I was very angry. I said, you know what, we need to go out and just have a nice big meal. We drove all the way down here to Atlanta. It was me and the boys and my dad and our buddy Sammy, and Tony Temple had ridden down there with us. And so we found a place that was going to be open late enough that was still good, and I mean to tell you, you ask Sam. He's okay. A food connoisseur. Even the boys, it was such a fantastic seafood dinner. But
okay. I love seafood, right. So.
I'll take you to a nice seafood dinner, but that
never call me again?
Never call you again.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the arena. You know, they get over 50,000 fans every game for these Atlanta United games. So
good Lord.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think, when MLS was announcing their expansion a few years ago, I did not think Atlanta was going to be like a big soccer market. You know, I thought, they don't sell out the Braves, and the Braves went to the playoffs like 15 years in a row. You know, they don't get enormous crowds a lot of times for the Falcons games. Atlanta just doesn't seem like a great sports market except for college football, you know? And so I thought, what, soccer in the South? I mean, it just didn't seem like it was going to be a big thing to me. And they're outdrawing the Falcons games. I mean, it's crazy. They've had over 70,000 fans for a few of their games.
I mean, it's something new. It's a beautiful new venue.
Yeah.
Lots of reasons, and they're good. So I mean,
well, and I have an uncle who used to live down there, and he said that I was just talking to him this weekend, and he said that. If you take kind of, you know, Johnson County obviously is a big market for sporting Kansas City. A lot of soccer families and all that stuff out in the suburbs.
Let's stereotype. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I like when you do this. Go ahead.
It's demographic breakdown stuff. But he said that the northern suburbs in Atlanta are very similar to like the suburbs of Johnson County. But the
key parties
the
and
population. Maybe. I haven't gotten into
swapping.
I haven't dug that deep yet.
Huh.
There's a Nick and Jake's on every corner, he said.
Right, White Rock in front of this house. And look, Red Rock, let's go.
Yeah.
No.
The candles are turned off at half the tables.
Hey.
Did you know that one, Charlie?
That's not. Is that real?
That's the thing. I was thought, yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
came up to me and asked me about that.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the jokes I had on Frank Bowl at the roast. I don't know if you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just said
something about Frank and Lee Wood key parties, which, you know.
Yep.
That's how rumors get started when you say something like that.
I guess. That's exactly right, yeah.
So then someone comes up to me and goes, hey, man, is that true about them key parties? But he wasn't asking about Frank or the joke.
Just about the parties.
Is that true?
How can I get in on that?
Is that true about them key parties?
Yeah.
Like what have you heard? Like, what? Bartender, come here. So
another round.
So it looks like you're going to enjoy your trip to Atlanta.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if we're going to venture into the northern suburbs, but maybe we should.
What else? Why else is it like Johnson County? Like everyone drives horribly? Like terrible?
The people in the Costco parking lot are ruthless.
Let me tell you, you're right about that. Over the one over here?
Yes. Isn't that right?
I went in there. I usually go to the one up north by my house. I went there to get something. Shockingly, I went in there to see if they had a chicken pot pie. They got these big chicken pot pies that you can put right in the oven.
Okay.
Delicious, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, I'll stop by.
Yeah.
I went in there. I went in the parking lot, got honked at, yelled at, screamed at.
Yeah.
I just turn right back around and
that was just
right
Petro, by the way.
Right. As I'm not doing in here.
Yeah.
The parking lot scared me.
Oh yeah. It's
yeah. No chicken pot pie.
This survival of the fittest at that Costco right there.
And let me tell you something.
These ladies don't give a blank.
To deter me from getting my chicken pot pie,
yeah,
you know that
bad.
Parking lot, all hell was breaking loose.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have fun in Atlanta.
Be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Hot Atlanta.
Yeah.
Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So the last... something happened in my neighborhood, and a line got cut or something. I don't know what the hell happened. Whatever. But so, like, the last couple of days, cable has been off and on. So I've been at the mercy of whatever's going on with the repairs. And so, thankfully, it was working well enough for me to watch Billions and Westworld. So I'm very satisfied with that. I was Westworld was starting to piss me off the first two episodes, but it's coming together now.
Okay, I haven't seen episode three yet.
Episode three was good.
Okay,
you know one of my favorite things is when you got to kind of listen in the background to figure out what songs are being played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what you know they'll play use current songs and you'll hear them in the background of the.
It's like a piano tune or whatever in the background.
So you know, you start off with some Jack White. All right, now this episode's going to be mine.
Okay.
And so it was episode three was better. I feel like
picked up a little bit.
I feel like I'm heading in the right direction.
Okay.
But and I know you don't watch it, but for the people that do, Billions is so good. I don't know what to do anymore. It's so fantastic. Every week I'm so upset when it's over because I don't want it to be over. And me and my wife will look at each other like, oh, come on. We can't wait another week. I wish it was like Netflix where I could just watch the whole damn thing right now and just binge watch it. But it's like, oh, man, Damian Lewis is so good. Paul Giamatti's so good. It's like, it's fantastic. The soundtrack, the music, the pace, everything about it is so good. But so then last night, though, no Royals, and the cable's going out again. And so here is my problem with being obsessive, compulsive. I can, when something catches me, when something catches my eye, or I get hooked by something, shut it down. Because I will lose time on YouTube.
Okay.
To things. And so, I think I watched the new video from Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. This is America.
Somebody told me about this.
I feel like I think I watched it 45 times. I think. I don't know.
Because check this out.
No, man. Let me tell you. Don't do it during the show because I'm going to lose you. Because there's so many different things. You watch it. First of all, you have to watch it like 5 times just to be able to capture everything that's going on, like in the background and the different themes. And still, you don't know. So I keep watching it and keep watching it. Then I think to myself like a big dummy, I wonder if there's any videos of people analyzing it. And there's like 1,000 videos of people breaking you down and analyzing it. And you know, I'm all in then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm reading all this. And I mean, this is my wife. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? I go, just watch the video. And so trying to explain it quick enough before she loses interest in me talking, which it happens quick. I'll start saying something, and then she looks at her watch like, make your point, please. I'm like, you got to watch this video. And then you watch another video that explains this video, and then you compare that to what other people are saying, and then you make your own ideas. And she's just looking at me like, I mean, just with disdain, like, what's wrong with you? I'm going back upstairs. Like, you know what? You should. You probably should. I don't blame you. And so now, like, the song's in my head over and over again.
It's a good song?
I think so, but I'm so mesmerized by the video.
I have to watch it now.
But we're old enough, I think you are too, to remember when, like, MTV played videos.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd get all fired up, You know, the new Prince world premiere video tonight. Yeah. Like, oh, can you believe it? A new video.
They were little mini movies.
Right.
They were phenomenal productions.
And I loved them.
I mean, Thriller.
I used to love it. But anyone, like, oh, you see the new video? You know, you go to school and they say, you see, you go to the girls, hey, you see the Duran Duran video last night? It's pretty good, huh?
See that Aha video?
Yeah. Cartoon and real people.
Yeah.
Whatever. Point is, so
the
like
freeze frame video by Jay Giles Band.
I appreciate what videos can add to the song,
yeah,
and how it can express the thoughts of the artist. And let me tell you, man, I'm not going to get into all of it, but or any of it really, because it's then we'll talk about it forever. But it blew my mind. I mean, it blew my mind. I don't even know what I can't even form words to like talk about it. But I kept watching it and trying to figure it out. And I had like my legal pad writing things down. Well, I think that means that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, like looking at it from my wife's perspective, I would not blame her if she thought I was crazy.
Well,
I'm down like looking at YouTube, like writing stuff down, you know, and looking at this other stuff, and like from the out, like what in the hell is he doing? This is what happens when the Royals aren't on,
right?
I can't have any more Royals off days. Unless, you know, get me closer, like, to the NBA Finals or something. I have to have something in the, you know, the playoffs were great last night.
Yeah, that
like,
wasn't great.
And then I find out that effing Phil Collins announces his first North American tour in 12 years, and Kansas City isn't on it.
That sucks. How close is he coming?
I was so upset.
What's the closest he's coming?
Chicago, I think, or whatever. I don't know. Seriously. How many times, and I get it, not everyone likes Phil Collins, so what? I enjoy the music of Genesis, and I enjoy the music of Phil Collins because it puts a smile on my face. It makes me happy. And every time, I don't care. You know the songs, like your favorite Phil Collins songs. You hear them, crank it up, roll the windows down. In the Air Tonight, still, drum solo, watch out!
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, okay, we talked about this. He's on tour in Europe, thinking, okay, he's got a biography that just came out. He's got a greatest hit CD that came out. And so he's going to have to come and tour in the United States, right? Sure, he has to support all this stuff. But maybe they'll announce more dates. And they kept saying, Monday, big announcement. They go, oh, this is going to be the North American tour. And it was a North American tour. Are you kidding me?
Don't even get started on how good the Tarzan soundtrack
is. All those beautiful songs. He has songs that make you cry. He has some songs. Studio. I don't know.
That's like my favorite one of all time. I love that song.
When he had the duet with Philip Bailey, Easy Lover.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, that's... I mean, I can sit here and...
Groovy Kind of Love. Oh, that's the Buster soundtrack.
I wouldn't have seen Buster the night that Kirk Gibson hit his home run in the World Series against the A's.
Wow.
And me and Caesar watched that, and then we went to see Buster at Crown Center with a couple of nice ladies. Girls at the time. Hmm. Whatever. I was 88. We're kids. I was 15. But the point is, Against All Odds was a wonderful love song and just a effing terrible movie that I went to see because of the song. Whatever. Point is...
That song will break your heart.
Someone make Phil Collins come here. I'll go to Chicago to see him if that's as close as he's going to be. I don't know if you do that, but... Well, it's been 12 years, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's... By the way, so that was my Monday. How's that sound, everyone? Is that good?
Pretty good.
Then I did a music video with my daughters of them singing a song, and we like did a whole stage production, but that was good though.
Yeah, it's good.
That's a way to express myself artistically.
Speaking of stage performances, it is official now. Chaz Palminteri is taking the stage on A Bronx Tale, marking the first time an actor has ever played the same part in a play, film, and stage musical.
So then when's the day?
It starts May 24th. I don't know how long he's going to be going.
That's a quick turnaround.
I know. I was hoping it'd be later in the summer.
Yeah. I think I need to get to July on that one. I don't know. That's going to be tough. Although, based on her reaction last night, I think my wife is looking for anything that could possibly get me out of Kansas City for an extended period of time. So
I will see what I can find out in terms of how long he's going to be playing.
We might contact her, and she might be, okay, sure, let's go. She might send me out there whether he's playing or not. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. That's right. What the hell's wrong with me? I just tweeted at Phil Collins asking him to come to Kansas City, which will ensure that he will not come anywhere near here, so... Whatever. If you're not going to use Twitter to ask Phil Collins to come to Kansas City, then what the hell is Twitter for?
That's a good question. It's to tell people how much you hate them. Usually, apparently.
Huh. Did you try to watch the video in the commercial break?
I watched first 3 minutes of it. There's an attention getter right at the beginning.
Right.
Oh.
I'm just telling you, man, because here's the deal. I like things that are thought-provoking, and it's extremely thought-provoking. If you watch it, Charlie, you see when you're on the cutting edge, the Donald Glover, Childish Gambino video, This Is America, it really is. It's deep, man. I mean, it's deep.
It is deep.
And I like things that require deep analysis.
Thought-provoking.
Like this show.
Oh, yeah.
Insert fart joke here. What? Do you like Joel Embiid?
I do like Joel Embiid, and I like all of his antics, and I like how much it pisses people off.
Did you see he had a scuffle with Terry Rozier?
Yep. And then he and Marcus Morris got into it.
So who would you favor in that fight? Who do you want to win if they were to scrap?
Who do I want to win?
Yeah, Marcus Morris or Joel Embiid?
Joel Embiid.
Why?
I like him more.
You don't like Marcus Morris?
I like Marcus Morris.
If you don't
Morris,
like him, you don't have to like everyone that went to Kansas to say it.
Yeah, I like the Morris twins.
Clearly you like Embiid better. Why?
Yeah, well, because he's a character. He's fun.
Well, I think Marcus Morris is
a
character.
Well, he's a different kind of character.
You're going to tell me he's not? What if the Morris twins fought each other?
That would be like being at the nexus of the universe. I don't know. It caused me to question reality.
Right.
But I like Joel Embiid's direction. I mean, he seems to be having a lot of fun with it, you know? I mean, he talks trash. He gets under people's skin. He has a good time. But there seems to be an element of fun, playfulness with it, you know?
Let's hear what he said about his scuffle with Rozier. It was, he also got a technical foul.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem like, and look...
They both got teed up on the play, right?
I'll be the first to tell you, you can't judge a fight based on the size of the two guys in the fight.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog, right? Know what they say?
Two in your hand is worth one in the bush.
Better than one in the bush. One in the hand is better than two in the bush.
I'm confused. Let's hear from Joel Embiid.
I mean, I was trying to, they got called for offensive foul, and I was trying to get the ball to keep the game flowing because I felt like we had an advantage, and we were on the run. So I just wanted to keep it going, and I was trying to get the ball, and he kind of kept the ball away from me and tried to punch me twice, but too bad he's so short that he couldn't get to my face. I didn't understand why it was a double technical, because I was just trying to get the ball and it was the one trying to swing. But, you know, next play, I feel like those type of plays, you just kind of like boost your energy and you just takes your game to another level. So I like getting into that type of stuff.
Your thoughts? Respond, please.
Well, I actually think that's a soccer thing. In soccer, you're allowed to restart the play yourself. And Joel Embiid played a lot of soccer growing up in Cameroon. So you'll see guys do that every once in a while in soccer, where the guy that, you know, if the other, one team wants to stop the play and let their defense get back, they'll try to hold on to the ball and won't let you get it from them. So you go take it away from them. In basketball, you have to wait till the referee gives you the ball to restart play. So Joel Embiid tried to go take the ball from Terry Rozier, and he didn't like it. I like the fact that he said, too bad he's too short that he couldn't get to my face.
See, but that's the whole deal. Then you go to the body.
Right, work in the body.
Anyone that has ever fought in the ring will tell you, hit me in the face as opposed to hitting me in the body. Mm-hmm. Because one of them hurts a hell of a lot worse than the other.
Soften them up, too, right?
Are short jokes legit with Joel Embiid, though? Because he's kind of just, you know, taller than everyone.
Yeah, everyone's a short joke to him. So
yeah, might as well take advantage of what you got.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
He's got to deal with being tall all the time.
But
you
see,
know?
Man, that's all arms. That's all elbows and knees. You get inside his reach. Mm-hmm. Go to work. Go to town.
Yeah.
On his ribs, and it is over.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting to see two former Jayhawks just going at each other. Embiid's talking all this trash, and Marcus Morris just kept holding up the three fingers. 3-0, baby.
Mm-hmm. That's the only time you've seen two former Jayhawks going at each other.
Well, I was going to say something that could have gotten me a lot of trouble at home.
Say it.
Oh, my wife and I are both Jayhawks.
Wow.
So.
Charlie, did you know this is, that's what this happens on this show? Let's hear more.
Charlie, are you regretting
offering
to be a part of this?
Charlie, are you still here? and again, last night, besides the 76ers extending the series and winning a game against the Boston Celtics to make that series 3-1 Boston, they won 103-92. Cleveland closes out Toronto. They sweep the series 128-93. Here is Cleveland coach and a Kansas City native, Tyronn Lue, as he tells us that Toronto prepares Cleveland for the next series.
I think, you know, Valanciunas, he's a low, you know, on the block, on the post-ups. They have great guard play in DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, and they have shooting. You know, with CJ and Van Fleet comes in the game, he can shoot the basketball, run pick and roll. So get us ready for good guard play, good bigs. So it's pretty much the same thing preparing us for the next series.
Cavs move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're about done on the TV, but the show will continue on Sports Radio 810. Coming up, we'll hear from Andy Reid, who spoke after the final practice of rookie minicamp yesterday. So we'll hear from Big Red. And also quarterback Chase Litton, former Marshall quarterback, who was invited to rookie minicamp. Perhaps a developmental quarterback candidate for the Kansas City Chiefs. We will also talk to KUAD Shane Zinger. Gary Lezak will give you the forecast. Jamie Bluma will come in here and talk about the Royals. No game yesterday, but Royals back at it tonight in Baltimore with Danny Duffy on the mound. So keep listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kansas City's hometown sports station. Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City.